It should not be surprising to learn that General Johnson was an ardent disciple of fascism. As head of the NRA, he distributed copies of The Corporate State by Raffaele Viglione, an unapologetic fascist tract by one of Mussolini's favorite economists. He even gave one to Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, imploring her to hand out copies to the cabinet. By 1934, Johnson's fascist methods and, more important, his unstable personality had led to his downfall. And while he was undoubtedly the most unrelentingly fascistic and pro-fascist member of the Roosevelt administration, his ideas and methods were not at all out of the mainstream. When Alexander Sachs, a respected economist who'd grown up in Europe, was invited to consult on the formation of the NRA, he warned that it could only be administered by a bureaucracy operating by fiat, and such bureaucracy would be far more akin to the incipient fascist or Nazi state than to a liberal republic. No one followed his advice, and he joined the administration anyway. In late 1934, Rexford Tugwell visited Italy and found the fascist project familiar. "I find Italy doing many of the things which seem to me necessary. Mussolini certainly has the same people opposed to him as FDR has. But he has the press controlled, so that they cannot scream lies at him daily." The Research and Planning Division of the NRA commissioned a study, Capitalism and Labor Under Fascism, which concluded, "The fascist principles are very similar to those which have been evolving in America, and so are of particular interest at this time." It's ironic that in the 1930s it was far from out of bounds to call the New Deal or FDR fascist. Yet, for the two generations after World War II, it was simply unacceptable to associate the New Deal with fascism in any way. This cultural and political taboo has skewed American politics in profound ways. In order to assert that the New Deal was the opposite of fascism, rather than a kindred phenomenon, liberal intellectuals had to create an enormous straw man out of the modern conservative movement. This was surprisingly easy. Since right-wing was already defined as anti-Roosevelt, it did not take much effort to conflate the American right with Nazism and fascism. Thus, for example, liberals portray American isolationism as a distinctly conservative tradition, even though most of the leading isolationists associated with America First and similar causes in the 1930s and 1940s were in fact liberals and progressives, including Joe Kennedy, John Dewey, Amos Pinchot, Charles Beard, J.T. Flynn, and Norman Thomas. The myth of right-wing fascism only began to unravel decades later thanks to an unlikely figure, Ronald Wilson Reagan, a former Roosevelt Democrat. In both 1976 and 1980, Reagan refused to retract his opinion that the early New Dealers looked favorably on the policies of fascist Italy. In 1981, the controversy was renewed when then-President Reagan stuck to his guns. "Reagan still sure some in New Deal espoused fascism," read the headline of a Washington Post article. Reagan's refusal to back off this claim was a watershed moment, though the taboo remains largely intact.